And it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." And that is where we will be putting our pin this evening, is "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." When we look back at verse 1, we see that very simple phrase, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And the more I read through this, as I mentioned before, the more I come to realize that these are the things that we do not want for. We do not lack. We do not lack green pastures. We do not lack still waters. Again, that rest, that refreshment. We do not lack restoration or want for it because it's there. We have opportunity and access to it, so it makes no sense. But now we look to see, "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." We see here that the Lord, in all of his loving kindness and all of his care for us, will lead us on righteous paths. Righteous paths. There's a lot of ways to go about living life. There's a lot of things, a lot of decisions to be made. Will I do this? Will I do that? But you better believe that if you're listening to the leading of the Lord, he will lead you down a righteous path. The path that is not only right for you, but a path that is without sin and with less turmoil than could be there. That's what so many people don't realize. Well, if life's going to be hard, what do I need God for? Oh my. Life's going to be hard no matter what, but do you really want it to be harder? We had a camp that we used to go to down in Indiana called Indian Creek Camp. And we were told, as the boys had a cabin up by the lake, and we thought we won. We're like, "Oh man, our cabins are over by the lake." They were the grossest cabins. You'd get all the mayflies, the icky bugs that crawl up in there because of the pond there. But we were told there was two ways to get to the cabins. One was to go the long way up a rock-layered road, right? And it was the long way. Or you could take the short way down by the pond. We go up there and just be very quick. We were told that in case of rain, do not take the pond road, or the pond path was what we called it. Don't go down there. Well, sure enough, we're out there playing baseball, and the water just rips down on us. Some of us remember to go up the stone path and go the long way. Some say, "Oh, I'm not going the long way. Have you seen this rain? I'm going up the pond path." And you knew which one of us took the rocks and which one of us took the pond. Because those that took the pond took them. They were covered in mud. We had this guy come to camp with us. His name was Bopper. He was 15 years old, 300 pounds. We called him Bopper because we had, you ever see those things in like ponds or lakes where you jump onto this giant balloon, you crawl out to the end, and then you'd have somebody jump in after you and launch you up? You wanted Bopper to do that for you. Because I tell you, some people got launched. Some people got tossed, but when Bopper did it, he bopped you right up into the air, and you came down. He said that he took the mud path, and there was this scrawny guy, and they're running, and this kid slips in. Bopper, with his big old heart, reaches down there to grab him, goes to pull him in. Both of them end up in the pond, covered head to toe in mud, and we're laughing at him. They went down the wrong path. It looked easy. It looked like it'd be the best way through. I don't want to get too wet. So I'm going to take this. It's what we always take. It's what we're used to. This is what we're going to do. But how many of us have found that taking the road that we were told not to, we found more obstacles. We found more trouble. "Oh, I'm strong enough. Well, Bopper thought he was strong enough, too, until he fell into the water. Just, I mean, again, it was just a pit. That whole path was a pit the rest of the week. Don't go down there. Oh, the Word of God speaks to us. It says, don't do these things. And I preach on it, and I preach on it. Why do I preach on it so much? Because I like to preach from one end of a passage to the other. And as it turns out, that's just what the Bible talks about a lot. Why? Because we've got a problem with it. Right? When you were raising your kids, for those of us who are still raising their kids, do you not repeat the same phrases over and over and over again? Doesn't that drive you nuts? I complained to my mom about it one day. She goes, oh, gee, you poor thing. And she looked like she was having a good time with me telling her that. She looked like she was enjoying that. She goes, oh, really? Is it a lot? Yeah. And they keep doing it? Yeah. It's crazy. She goes, yeah, just crazy. Just crazy. Oh, we're told so many times, but this mind, this heart, it's like that song, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. I know what good sense tells me to do. I know what the Bible tells me to do, but so often we find ourselves in a different spot. Well, the purpose of this here is to tell us, ask us why. If the righteous path, if righteous paths are available to you, what are you doing? What are you doing? So many, we sit here and worry. We get anxious. We get frustrated. We get angry. We expose ourselves to all different kinds of sin, doing stuff and thinking about stuff that God told us not to. Right? We talked about that this morning, just worry warts. If I sit there and I ponder it enough, it'll make it better. That's not how it works. I had somebody tell me one time that what they like to do is they'll write down something that they want to have in their life. I want $1 million. And they'll sit in a chair in front of it and just stare at the words. I want to make $1 million. And they said, I'm going to just create that into my life by staring at a board. We think that if we sit there in front of our televisions and we worry about stuff, it's going to make it right. No, what does the Bible say the righteous path is in that behavior? Leaving it at the feet of Christ. Lord, I'm going to do what you want me to do. I'm going to behave in good stewardship and in wisdom. And I'm not going to play that. Right? What else do we have? Well, this will happen and I'll get irritated and I'll start doing this. You're not supposed to do that. Long-suffering, forbearance, all things we're told to do. Well, that person, they did this wrong to me, and I ain't ever going to forgive them. That ain't the righteous path. In every situation you could ever find yourself in, there's a righteous path. And that word there, as we see it in Psalm 23, that is the plural form, isn't it? Paths. Even if you take the misstep here or there, there are paths to get back to right. We don't want for them. We have them. We've got a lot of them. Our problem is staying on them. Isaiah 53 verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. What have we all done? At one time or another, what have we done? We've taken our foot off that path. We've started to make mistakes. We've done things we weren't supposed to do. We developed attitudes we weren't supposed to have. And we wandered away. Now, some didn't wander far. You don't have to wander far for it to be a problem. I think I've told you that story before, walking through the woods with my papa. We were up on one trail. There was another trail down here. We cut across a hill, right through some bushes. Walked over a yellow jacket nest or whatever it was that lives in the ground. We got ate up. We didn't wander far from the trail. One sin is enough. One second. One dropping of the hands. It's not going to greatly expose you, but the devil doesn't need a lot of exposure on you to get you. He doesn't. So just a little bit. We'll wander away. Hey, I transgressed in this one thing. Well, I tell you what, you better repent of that and get back on the righteous path, because you'll follow after it. You'll wander down. They say that sheep and certain grazing animals, if left to their own devices, will wander the same paths, eat off the same hills, until you've got nothing but ruts and polluted hills. You put them in a spot, they'll eat everything there. And what happens when they're done eating that up? They'll wander over to where there's better stuff and good stuff. And sometimes safety is not exactly their priority. They just, oh, here's some grass, here's some grass, here's some grass. And before you know it, they, like me, they get a little too close to the edge. And they fall. Or they get hurt. Why? Because they went somewhere they weren't supposed to be. You as a Christian, those righteous paths, those are places you should be. As a matter of fact, there are vast swaths of the world that have devolved or had issues because of overgrazing. Overgrazing is a large problem in certain parts of the world, where people who didn't use proper maintenance and weren't thinking things through just decimated or just destroyed a patch of land because they weren't being mindful. And I'll tell you this, the sheep weren't being mindful. Why? Because they don't know to be mindful. Now here's the thing, the difference between you and a sheep. You know better. You're smart. You know that ain't right. And again, time and time again, we get that desire. We know where we should be, but there's some distraction. Do you see that patch of grass over there? Sure does look good. Man, I saw this on TV. Somebody said this, they cursed them out. You know, sometimes when I'm in a bad mood, that's what I want to do. So we go out there and we talk in a way that doesn't become Christianity. We talk in a way that misrepresents who Christ is. We go out and we do this and we do that. Doesn't matter what the sin is, but we play with things because it draws our attention. It makes a distraction for us. We go, hey, well, it feels pretty good to do that. But again, we don't think of the cost. We don't think of what would happen if we left the righteous path. Because as we'll look at later, anything beyond that righteous path is destruction. It's trouble. So distraction took place. And hey, maybe it's not distraction. Maybe it's fatigue. A lot of people, you know, I've seen them do that. They serve the Lord, but they're doing it in their own strength. They're doing it in their own body. And after a while, because they're not doing it God's way, and they're not tapping into the Lord's strength, they're not sitting there praying and reading their Bibles and trusting in the Lord and refreshing and worshiping the way that they should, right? They're not doing the first things. They're not stopping by the pastures. They're not drinking beside the still waters. They get tired. So all of a sudden, they'll get a bad attitude about them. We'll have that happen every now and then when we were at work. All right, guys, listen. Take your break. Oh, we're not taking our break today. Why? Well, if we get this done real fast, you know, we can get out of this hot sun. You know, that almost never worked out right. You got to take that break. Drink some water. You know, and then the Christian perspective, you got to take that break. You got to have worship. You've got to have time of praying and laying those burdens down upon the Lord and repenting of your sin and coming into the church and singing songs and, again, getting revived through the preaching of the Word, that closeness and sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. You need those things, or else fatigue will take place spiritually. We go astray and we're chasing our own lusts and we're following the beckoning of the enemy. Now that sounds very sinister, doesn't it? Oh, well, I'm following the beckoning of the enemy. It doesn't ever look like that. It always looks innocent. And there's always three or four fools around you who have been also caught in it that'll sit there and say, hey, no, this is good. You should try this. I've got so many benefits from it. So many wonderful things. And it turns out to be awful. What was that? Danielle was telling me something. I forgot to look into it, but I'm like, man, that's exactly what we're talking about. Was it sucralose? What's that called? Sucralose. They came out with a study. Turns out that it does bad stuff to your DNA. Wasn't that supposed to be the solution at one point or the other? Wasn't that supposed to be the best thing for you? Now you find, oh, no. Yeah, by the way, it's been killing us. Okay. Sorry. It's like every time you turn on the news, eggs are great for you. Then you turn it on again, eggs are killing you. We get the same thing for coffee. Coffee is one of the best things you could have. Coffee is killing you. you know, back and forth, isn't it? And you get a lot of people who come up with a lot of crazy things, right? It's, well, if I, what I do is I ingest four of these and two of those, and it's the best thing ever. And then you find out that that's made you gravely ill, and your doctor's sitting there going, well, listen, that's killing you. You should stop doing it. Oh, no, doc, you wouldn't know. And they continue on in their bad behavior, right? I can think of a few relatives I had argued with their doctor. Oh, no, my grandpa said it's good for you to smoke. Legitimate argument that I've heard. It's good for you. I've heard this argument more than, my aunt so-and-so lived to be 101, and she smoked two packs a day. Can I see Aunt so-and-so? Because I doubt it. I doubt it. Even though you may have one or two that get away with it, don't mean everybody gets away with it. Am I right? It becomes quite a pain. Oh, they beckoned gently. They beckoned with enticing things. Hey, come in. Flushing, there was a big to-do over in Flushing. One of the marijuana dispensaries was out passing out flyers. And someone messed up and handed it to a child. Now, I say messed up because that's me being polite. I would hate to think that they would do that. Well, brother, they wouldn't do that. The cigarette companies have been doing that forever. I want you to go ahead and those e-cigarettes, those vape cigarettes, I want you to look up who's the number one user of those things. Look at the flavors, look at the colors, and you tell me what they're doing. I'm just saying. Just saying. Oh, this is supposed to be the safe alternative. You take a look. You take a look. I mean, I had somebody who was an old coworker. Her brother used to sell the stuff. And she came in. She was trying to help somebody quit smoking, so this was the solution. So she came in with like seven different flavors. And I just kind of, Matt, what's wrong? Are you guys talking about Kool-Aid? No, these are for e-cigarettes. Are you out of your mind? Are you sure you're not marketing those to kids? I'm like, those, like they had cutesy little names to them. Why would an adult do that? You know what I mean? Like, I'll have a juice box if there's an extra one from the kids, but I don't sit there going, man, I wish I had a, I don't know, I don't even know the names of them anymore. You know, I want a Jammin' Berry. You know, I want a Jammin' Berry punch. Ridiculous. Oh, but they entice. Please come. Hey, take our flyer. We're part of the community. We pay taxes. Never mind the fact that federally we're still a problem. Never mind the fact that we got to do some shady business stuff. Please come. And then you get somebody out there, hey man, no. I feel calm because you're obliterated. You don't know what you feel. You can't hit pause on your problems and call it fixed. You can't. And that's exactly what we said. Come, watch this, be this, ingest this. And the back of, we know that's not right. But yet we follow along. Hey, let me have a look. Let me see what they're doing. It's a trap, and we need to stay on the right path. But I'll tell you this. We look at that verse again, Isaiah 53, verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. It says, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Did you catch that? Where'd our iniquity go? He laid it on him. Now, I want you to imagine, I want you to think back to something your kids have done. Back when they were little. You said, now, if you do this, I'm going to give you a whipping. Or a whooping. Or spanking. However it is you said it. Think back. Now, imagine you got the spanking. Now, imagine it was you getting the whipping. Would you be just a little bit more angry? Every time you kids mess up, daddy gets the spanking. I wonder what would happen in my house if I did that. It would probably be a carnival. I know it would be if my dad did that. All right, listen, every time you guys mess around, I'll take your punishment. Oh, bet, dad. Okay. Okay, dad. Oh, but no, that's what the Lord did. He took our, we wander and we stray and we push the boundaries. We put ourselves in ridiculous situations. And then the Lord comes, he takes that iniquity. And what did he do? He put it upon himself. He put it upon himself. That should be a very sobering thought. That in our carelessness and our haphazard stepping, the Lord takes the penalty. There was this the song I listened to this week, and it talks about the 99 and going off to find the one. And in there, part of the line is, you know, I walked X amount of miles to come get you. And in the context of the song, it was in love. You know, I'd walk 1,000 miles to come get you. You know, the Lord has to come get us. The Lord had to take that sin upon his back. Do you understand how much he cares about putting you on the right path, making sure you're in the right place? I mean, he's preserved the institution of the church. He has preserved his word. He sits there with the Holy Spirit communicating to you. He chastises you, does everything he can to keep you safe. It's like raising boys. Pray for Tim and Kaylee Cavanaugh. They found out that they're going to have a boy. She's pregnant, found out they're going to have a boy. And I laughed. He goes, how much different are they? I go, I want you to imagine trying to keep something alive despite its best efforts. That is raising a boy. Stop jumping off the stairs. Okay. Dad, you said one more time, right? Oh, no more times. Okay. And my brother used to do this ridiculous thing. He'd break out in the middle of the night. He was 12, 13 years old. He'd get out. He'd get himself in trouble. Do the dumbest stuff. You ever do that again? And he threatened all sorts of awful things. But you know what? You know what the real problem was? Dad was not the real danger. Those cars out there, those drunkards out there, those bad people out there, they were the biggest danger. We think that the pastor saying something negative, the church members doing that thing with their face when they find out you're in sin, we think that's the biggest trouble. It's not. The wolves and the pits and the cliffs are our biggest issues. What sin causes in our lives and the punishment that brings about from God. Those are the more terrifying aspects. But never forget his love and his desire to take you and keep you safe, putting that iniquity upon himself. He doesn't just correct our paths, but he brings us to his way. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let's take a look at that. The way. The way to what? That's the path to salvation right there. That's how I get conviction. That's how I get redemption. That's how I get regeneration. He is the way to all those things. His blood poured out over the cross that day on Golgotha was the only way. I can't put money over here. I can't Hail Mary that. I can't burn these candles. But I tell you what, if burning candles could get you into heaven, I'd start a wax factory. Would we not? We'd make the front yard look like it was on fire for our souls, wouldn't we? Well, no, you see, you got to be within the church. We wouldn't need LED lights in the church building. If that's what it would take, I'd burn them all. But that ain't going to help you. Nowhere do we see where wax covers the sins of man. Nowhere in there does it say money. Nowhere in there does it say doing good deeds. I mean, I tell you what, you could be the bestest Boy Scout and Girl Scout on earth. You could help everybody across the street whether they need it or not. You could sell 1 trillion cookies. It will not matter because he is the only way. And I'm glad for it. Because candles are messy. Can't trust the organizations that charge money for salvation. Right? This modern day religion. This modern day, this American Christianity. This faith promise stuff. It's a joke. He is the way. And there's none other but him. We see there he is the truth. Through him, as we talked about this morning, I learned the truth about me. Through the Word of God, I learned the truth about Him. He's the Son of God, lived a sinless, perfect life, died on the cross a couple thousand years ago, paying the sin debt for all who would come to believe. That's who He is. He is the Son of God. He loves me, cares for me, takes care of me, put His blood on the line for me. And it is through learning about me and learning about Him, I learn about a little thing called grace. He is the truth of all those things. The truth about me, the truth about Him, and the truth about grace. What else does He say He is? In this passage, He says, I am the life. And that life, as we understand, is not just life itself, but life more abundant. It is a new life. It is the second birth. It is being able to rise again, a brand new creature. He is the life. Without Him, there would be nothing. Without Him, we would have nothing. And not only do we have, but we have more abundantly. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, however, says, enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. A lot of people are taking the old pond path. A lot of people are going the quick way. They look down, they say, all right, we're not supposed to do that, but look at everybody doing it. Now, I know what God says, but I'm afraid of these people. And I want the respect of these people. So I'm going to go with them. You go ahead and you take that broad path, and the only thing you'll find on that is destruction. We've seen it. People who were raised and taught the Word. And they grew up and they took a look at everything they learned and they said, ah, I don't need those things, I don't want those things. Look at what everybody else is doing. I'll go that away. And then you find the same old stories. Heartbreak. Sorrow, illness, jail time, broken families, broken lives. We see all manner of distress happening in their lives. Why? Because that path leads to one place. Destruction. These people, they'll go out. Oh, they'll doll themselves up in whatever attire makes them feel good. They'll go out on social media and say whatever their quote-unquote truth is. They will live confidently that they have what is called now the best life. I just want to have the best life. And they'll die and they'll wake up in hell. They'll hear the word Bible, and those eyes will shoot up to the top of their heads. They'll roll those things like it's a bowling ball. We'll talk about church, we'll talk about God, and all of a sudden, whoa, 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 that makes me uncomfortable. You think you're uncomfortable now? Wait till you realize He was right. Wait till you stand before Him. Because I'll tell you this, if you're not happy hearing about God, and you're not happy hearing about the Bible, you're going to be miserable when you stand in front of Him. Because He ain't going to let you put your hands to your ears. He ain't going to let you roll your eyes. You ain't going to have the courage to do it. There's going to be a lot of people who find out just how frail they are in the hands of God. That path only leads to one way, and that is destruction. Some of us, we're saved children of God, and we'll kind of visit that path a little bit. Well, I don't go down the wrong path. I typically stay on paths of righteousness. But, you know, when the family's in town, or it's, you know, New Year's Eve, or this excuse, that excuse, vacation, blah, 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 I will partake a little bit. You better be careful what you're doing on that path. You better be real careful. Because oftentimes you find more trouble down there than you were bargaining for. As we go back to our text, Psalm 23 says, He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. If you go to Philippians 2:13, Philippians 2:13, we read, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." We see there in the first part of Philippians 2:13 that he works with us. "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Let me tell you about your Heavenly Father. It pleases him to see that you are doing well. It pleases him to see that you are doing well. Earlier today, Caspian was pouring himself a bowl of cereal. And you ever watch a child pour a bowl of cereal? It's like a thriller movie. Just, oh, I didn't see that coming. He's pouring that milk, and he gets right to the spot, right to the sweet spot. You know what I'm talking about? For those of you that like cereal, there's a sweet spot where it's just enough milk, just enough cereal. He snaps that off, puts it back there, pat him on the back. That's good. You found the sweet spot. You love that. You see somebody, and they stand up, and they do the righteous thing. They had the opportunity to do the wrong thing. They did the righteous thing. God is pleased by that. Well, should we really be living to God's good pleasure? It depends. That person whose pleasure it is, do they care for you? Your safety, your well-being, your advancement, your growth, does he care for those things? Yes, then absolutely. I want to make sure I'm pleasing him. Now, if I had a boss out there who cared nothing about my physical well-being, cared nothing about my advancement in the company, whatever have you, I wouldn't really care how pleased he was. But my Heavenly Father has given all for me, so I care about whether or not what I do pleases him. At least we should. So there we are. I mean, he cares to see us doing well. It makes him happy to see us on that righteous path. Hey, where are they? Are they on? Okay, there they are. Right where they're supposed to be. Safe and growing. And they're satisfied and happy. That's where I want them to be. But then we wander off and it's just one sin after the other. When we're playing the old game, we already lost. Playing the old game, we already lost. The one we gave up for redemption. It pleases him to see that you're doing well. And it pleases him to see that you are well. That you are well. Those sheep that would get themselves in trouble, they could break a leg. They could get cuts and scratches, wounds. They just barely escape a wolf or something like that, or they twist an ankle. Here they come back and they're hobbling. You know what I mean? You fall off into sin. You pick up some embarrassment. You pick up some shame. You pick up some long-standing consequences. And now all of a sudden you got this little limp going on to you. That don't please the Lord. You go over there, that's going to happen. I saw this. Somebody thought it would be a good idea to put the sprinkler for their yard under their trampoline and then coat the top of the trampoline with Dawn dish soap. Earl, don't do it. I sat there and thought, well, that'll make sure the kids don't get too rowdy this summer. Two broken legs, you know? Because I'm like, I didn't see anybody try it, but in my head, that's exactly what would happen. You ever run on a wet trampoline? I did when I was a kid. What happens? Whip! You put some dish soap on there, which is the slippery stuff imaginable, and whip, 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 it'd be a mess. It'd be funny to watch. It was like that, what was those bouncy houses? They got bouncy houses, they put them out in the middle of the lake. And you could bounce in these bouncy houses out in the lake. And I just sat there going, why? Is it not hard enough to stand up? I mean, you got people jumping out of the water to get into these things. You have water all up in these things. Someone is going to crash into someone. I just look at that stuff and I go, that's silly. That's going to hurt somebody. How many times have we done that spiritually where we're playing with stuff we know doesn't make any sense? We know it's wrong. I was talking to Brother Larry in the back. We were talking about that sermon and how things seem to repeat themselves in societies. And you got to step over a lot of bodies to jump onto some of the lifestyles you got here. You know what I mean? To follow some of these vain ideas, both political and social, to buy into this stuff, you got to step over a lot of bodies. You got to ignore a lot of bloodshed. And that's what drives me nuts. Oh, socialism. You know how many people have starved to death on socialism? Well, it's a lot more fair. You're confusing fair with free. And by the way, if it's free and there's no incentive to build, no one will build. No one will build. I was talking to one of the visitors. They say, wow, look at all these kids. There should be more kids. Not with the families we're building nowadays. We're going to run out of them. As Brother Art likes to say, they can't make them. They can't make them. We're going to have a problem. We're going to step. We got to step over a lot of people who have died in those philosophies to get to where we're going. We got to ignore a lot of stuff. And that doesn't make any sense to me. It doesn't. Right? Hey, if you do this, there's a big chance you can either get pregnant or sick. Right? Yes. What are you doing it for? It's fun. You out of your mind. You're old-fashioned. No, I don't think this is an old-fashioned, young-fashioned thing. I don't think it's because I'm too old mentally. It's, that, you know what I'm saying? It's like, again, that trampoline with the Dawn dish soap. That just looks like there's only one reason for it. That just looks like you're here to hurt yourself. You know, oh, well, what we like to do is we like to enjoy these drugs, go into a crowded, airless room, thump music to the point of losing our hearing, and we just like to get half-dressed and flop around on these drugs that lower our inhibitions and then hope for the best. How many people have you ever heard, why? I don't remember quite what we did last night. I've never sat there going, oh, man, I wish I could forget what I did last night. Well, I take that back. There have been a few movies I've watched and a couple Catholic weddings I've been to. But beyond that, I've never sat there and said, so you've completely abandoned your senses, went out to a public area where there are predators, half-dressed, and this is good? Well, yeah, that's what we do. You can't be that judgmental. It's not judgmental. That sounds crazy. That'd be like me grabbing one of my favorite backpacks, getting into a plane and jumping out of the thing. Well, some people's backpack work. Some people don't. Are you out of your mind? Doesn't make any sense. When God looks down at you, He wants to see you not dead in a gutter. When God looks down at you, He wants to see you well. He wants to see you doing well. He wants to see you well off. He wants to see you feeling all right because you didn't put your foot into a nonsensical hole. So He works with us, works in us. What are we told then to do? Do all things without murmurings and disputings. You ever do that? Now, Matt, you go out and do this. I really don't want to. You're going to, or you'll be in trouble. Fine. Well, if we don't do this, that church, they're going to say this, that, and the other. So we better put on airs. You've lost the reason for doing it. You've lost the reason for not doing it. That does drive me nuts just a little bit. Well, what will they say? You know, there's a bigger fish to fry. There's a bigger concern to be had. And that is God sees you. And not just you, but He sees your heart. He knows what's driving you, what's motivating you. Well, I don't want people to think I'm not a Christian. You've lost the plot. You need to get, I want to please the Lord. I want to be safe. I don't want to get caught up in this nonsense. So no murmurings, no complaining, no disputing, because it doesn't make any sense to do so. What else does it tell us there? To be blameless, that you may be blameless. You know what blameless means? It means that your testimony is so strong that if somebody were to come up to one of your friends and say, hey, listen, so-and-so did this, they wouldn't believe it. Hey, did you hear so-and-so went over and they robbed a bank? No. Because our behavior has been so against that and fighting against it for so long that it's very hard. That there are no rumors about us. That there are no things that could be brought up. No whispers about us. No, that we would be, again, blameless. We don't toe that close to the line. We don't come near it. Right? We get as far away from it as possible. That there could be no accusations. We see also that word harmless. Harmless. Blameless means you look good. Harmless means you are good. I ain't out there hurting people. Believe you me, your actions, they can hurt people. Your attitude, your sin, the way you treat others, what you think is a secret, what you think you're entitled to, will hurt people. And not just people, but it'll hurt yourself too. We need to be real mindful that we do not live on an island to ourselves. Our sin, especially when it's perpetrated on others, will leave lasting hurts. We must be cautious. We must be right. We must be harmless. We see here also this admonition, the sons of God. When we go out there, that ought to be it. If I told you that someone is a son or daughter of God, you'd have certain expectations of them, wouldn't you? I want you to think for a second of those fluffy-hatted guards over in England. Those guys are serious. You ever see people, they get too close and they bring the gun down on them? But a lot of people try to make those guys break, and they can't. Now, if we think about the Queen's Guard, I guess right now it'd be the King's Guard. You know, you have certain expectations of them. I went down to D.C. in the 8th grade. We watched the changing of the guard. It was uniform. It was snappy. It was professional. It was one of the coolest things I've ever seen in my life. Why? Well, they're the guards of the tomb of they're the guards for the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. That's what you expect out of them. They're the fluffy-headed guards over there in England. That's what you expect out of them, that they can stand forever and not move. What would you expect out of somebody called the Child of God? Would you expect good behavior? Let me ask you, would you describe yourself as a child of God? Well, yeah, brother, of course. Is your actions, your behavior befitting of that title? If not, fix it. If not, do right. Do right. Don't wallow in the self-pity like we talked about this morning. Don't pick on yourself. Don't sit there and go, well, I guess this must mean something about you. That's great, philosopher. Now what do you got? Nothing. Why don't we just repent? Believe. Repent and believe. Zechariah 4:6, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Wonder why you pop off the righteous paths? Number one, your sin nature. Number two, because you're trying to stay right in your own strength. You ain't praying right. You ain't reading right. You ain't studying right. You're not doing anything by His Spirit. Because you've put a barrier between Him and you. You ain't opened the door. You ain't picked up the phone. You got to talk to Him. You must be in His Spirit. You have to be in His Spirit. Because I'll tell you what, you ain't going to be able to accomplish anything by your own might. Oh, you have such a low opinion of what we can do. No, I got a very high opinion of what God can do. You know what I'm saying? If I were to give slingshots to some of these kids, guaranteed some of them could probably... Charlie got real excited. Some of them might be able to hit a squirrel. Have a squirrel stew. But if I said, you know what, even excited Charlie over here, hey, Charlie, take that slingshot, get us a deer for dinner. Church is going to have a big old barbecue. I want you to go out. I want you to get that with a deer. We would sit there and say, oh, well, it's a tall order. Why would we think anything else about our own spiritual strength? You've got strength. You've got a little strength. Says nothing about you as a person. But I tell you what, Charlie, would you rather have a slingshot or would you rather have a rifle? You're going to go hunt a deer. Which one would you rather have? Torpedo. There you go. What? Rifle. If I had, hey, listen, I could stick around, I could fight on a little bit, I could hang out with my might a little bit, I could take a slingshot to it, you know what I'm saying? Or I could do it by God's might, and I could have something a little bit more sturdy and a whole lot more reliable. You following me? David fought Goliath with nothing but a slingshot, but he said the battle is the Lord's, so I guess it wasn't just a slingshot, was it? Because I tell you what, they don't make tanks more powerful than our God. That Goliath didn't stand a chance. I've got to do it by the Lord's Spirit. I've got to do it His way. I've got to look to Him. I've got to be walking with Him. And then finally, what does it tell us to do here? In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. You ever try to use a lamp, a dirty lamp? I had a flashlight one time, got covered in mud. Turned it on, wasn't too bright, was it? Didn't quite do its job. You wipe that thing clean. Boom! Now I got a useful tool. Now I'm doing something. Many of us, we are lights, but we've been on the wrong kind of paths. We've been in the wrong places. So we're a little tarnished. We're a little dirty. And then we sit there and we're supposed to be this grand light, this directional force to our Christ. You can't get the job done right that way. You got to repent. You got to kick that dirt off. Right? You're not going to be able to sit there. You know what I mean? If you're sitting there with a drink in your hand at the bar, giving the gospel, could the Lord use it? Yeah. But don't forget what it says about you. I heard a story about a bunch of people that stood up and they were making fun of a preacher. And a guy got up and he was imitating him and preached a little bit about, you know, some of the things he thought that guy would say. Two or three people in that room fell to repentance, including the guy up making fun. They rushed over to that preacher's house. Knocked on the door. Led them to the Lord. You can't do as well on the wrong paths. I ain't showing nothing if in one hand I'm pretending to be righteous and in another I'm hiding stuff. It doesn't look right. And in God's mind, it ain't right. We have to stay on the right paths. They're abundant. They're all over the place. There's no excuse for us to do things the wrong way. There's no excuse. We don't want for them. We've got them all over the place. So what must we then do? Stick to the righteous paths. They're the best thing for you. They come out best. Lord will bless you on it. And it'll make things a whole, in this difficult life, filled with difficulties and trials and traumas and anything it can throw at us, it is the best way to walk through those things. And again, I think of that illustration. It's been something so close to my mind. It may be a few more steps than that pond path. It may be the long way around. It might not be as convenient. You may see everybody else going down that way. But I'll tell you what, I didn't have to wash no mud off me. You know what I mean? I didn't have to sit there and answer to the counselors, why are you covered in mud? The righteous path. It's going to make life, this difficult life, a whole lot easier. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful that you keep us in righteous paths. That, Lord, you'd have people in our lives to teach it to us. That, Lord, you show it to us. And, the Lord, you keep us strong in the walking of it. Because, Father, left to our own devices, we would be like those sheep that dig ruts into every path and pollute every hill if we're left to our own devices. But Lord, you are wise. You take us to different hills. You manage places. You manage the affairs of our lives and the things going on around us so that, Lord, we are safe. We are healthy. We don't exhaust our resources. Help us, Father. Help us to stay in those righteous paths. Help us, Lord, to see the necessity of them, not just to be hateful about those who are against those paths, but, Lord, to walk it so straight, those that despise you can't help but honor you when they see what's going on in our lives. Lord, we love you. I pray you keep us safe. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Page 161.